art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to welcome everybody to a wonderful, beautiful experience in God's presence this morning. And I am sure that God has a word for us. Hallelujah. All of the things we've been doing, from opening prayers to Bible worship to worship time to drama, all of that is building up to this moment in which the word of God is going to come. And my prayer is that somebody's word will come this morning in the name of Jesus. It's always good to come with expectation into the presence of God. You come expecting. You don't come religiously. You don't come like it's a ritual. No, you come expectantly, trusting God and believing God for a word, a revelation situation. You will remain the same person you are except for the encounter you have with God. Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, unless there is a genuine encounter with God, you will just be the same. But when there's an encounter with God's word, there is a rapid change. There's a turnaround. Total turnaround. There is what the Bible describes in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I wanted to expect trusting God, believing God for a word in His presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Last week we started with six types of lovers and choosing the right one. And we're just going to pick up from there. We just looked at one of those points last week. And we're going to continue this morning. Can I have some volume on the monitors, please? Just a little bit more. So I'll just read quickly for us. I've already explained all this, but I'll quickly read for us the introductory scriptures we read last week, which is the fact that we have different types of men and women in the world. Even within the body of Christ, in the church, there are different kinds of people. And when it comes to the issue of marriage, you don't just look at somebody and say, oh, this guy is handsome, or this lady is beautiful, that's the person I want. There are a lot of dynamics that are involved that you have to take into consideration in choosing the person you want to get married to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, there are different kinds of lovers. There are different kinds of men. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, the Bible says, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man. So there are evil men. Again, when you take a look at Proverbs chapter 2 verse 16, the Bible says to deliver thee from the strange woman. So there are strange women. So already in two verses, we see the evil man, we see the strange woman. Again in Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 14 to 17, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, you see, the wicked man, nor go in the way of evil men. You see another one, evil men. In Proverbs chapter 9 verse 6, I believe it's on the slide. Beautiful. On Proverbs 9 6, it says, forsake the foolish. So there are foolish men. It said, go not in the way of understanding. Let me have it, please. Go not in the way of understanding. Just a moment, please. Hallelujah. Sorry for that. So, in Proverbs 9 says, forsake the foolish and live. Go not in the way of understanding. So we see foolish man. Then in Proverbs 16, 28 to 30, it says a froward man. See another type of man there, froward. We see evil man, wicked man, foolish man, froward man. Said a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separated chief of friends. Then in verse 29, it says a violent man. Can you see that again? A violent man enticed his neighbor, leaded him into the way that is not good. Violent men are the ones that beat up their wives at any slightest provocation. You don't behave, they slap you. You behave, you are rewarded with slap. You cook good food, slap. The food is not good, slap. Beating. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. And you see, they don't write it at the head. Wife beaters. It's not written. But there are simple ways you can know if a guy is going to beat his wife. The way he beats up his sisters. I say that those your sisters are very stubborn. Beat them very well. You are training him to come and beat you afterwards. Hello, somebody. How do you know a wicked man? In little things, the way he kills a mosquito, you know that he's a wicked man. Ordinary mosquito say, look for your armor. I say, this man. So if you get married and mistakenly suck his blood, you're in trouble. Praise God. So you in simple things, you will know the kind of you are dating a lady and there's an issue with a friend, and then 2-3 months after, she's still angry. Say, if they give me a gun, I will shoot her. Beware. That is what you are going to manage in marriage. People don't change after marriage. Don't believe those people that tell you, once I marry, I will change. It's a lie. Marriage is not a change agent. You are the same person you are, the same person you will be. The only difference is that you now have somebody living with you at home, a ring, and then somebody to unleash your anger on. Before. And you see, you don't know angry people until they are angered. Let me put it that way. You don't know people that can steal until there is something to steal. You understand? You know the way you abuse government, all the people in government, those people are terrible. How can somebody steal 12 billion until you get there? That's when you know that you yourself, you won't steal. Now, if they put $50 million, in your office, by virtue of the office you occupy, and there's no record, if you take $1 million out of it, nobody knows anything. Say you will not steal. That's when we know. If you are given a contract, and then there are 10 vehicles assigned to you, and the staff members under you, and then the contract is over, and then you write your resignation letter because it's over, and 2 years after, they refuse to come and take their vehicles. Will you start using it that way? This is part of the inheritance. Or you will truthfully return it. Those are the issues. So you don't know who you are until you are under pressure. You don't know the capacity you have until you are pushed to the wall. It's somebody with me. So you cannot conclude about a person based on who you know when you are in love. People are nicest when they are in love. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are the nicest person you are. So when you see somebody who is in love and is not nice, it's a major problem. Because when you are in love, that love is supposed to propel you into just being good, nice. But now you are in love and you are not really nice. It's going to be funny. Because after marriage, the love will not disappear. The love will always be there, but the feelings will disappear. All those butterfly feelings. See, Pastor, I've met the fedora of my life. Anytime I see him, I have butterflies. After marriage, butterflies lose their wings. They don't fly again. Is somebody with me? And I always say, before you get married, tell him and her to visit you one day before taking his bath. No makeups. So that you know the package you are dealing with. And you won't be surprised on the wedding night after she comes out from the shower. Is somebody with me? If she has tribal marks, no, before marriage. And you know, everything and anything can be covered with makeup these days. Makeup artists are dangerous people. They can conceal things that can only be discovered in marriage. So if it's the pancake and the mascara you are getting married to, you better understand what you are in for. Tell her to visit you one day, no makeups, with a natural hair, remove all these things. And if she's going bald, no, before marriage. Yes. 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 Because when you wake up in the morning, the wig will not be there, the makeup will not be there, the tribal mark will not be hidden under makeup. You are just going to be who you are. So that nobody after the wedding night is shouting, "The blood of Jesus!" Then remember, I married yesterday. Okay. You are supposed to see her face and sing in the spirit. So, know the exact face you are dealing with. And if he can't cope with your tribal marks, let him go. His name is Abednego. Wait for the man that will look at you and say, "This is a tribal marks I've been looking for all my life." The Bible says we bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you have tribal marks, don't hide it. Hide it for what? Have a good self-esteem of who you are. The Bible says, "A body has he prepared me." Meaning that the way you are without makeup, God prepared you, and there's somebody that will love you like that. You have bow leg, forget. There are some people looking for bow legs. You are tall. I say, how can somebody be tall like skeleton like this? No, there's somebody looking for tall people like that. You are short, brief, portable. That's what some people are looking for. So be yourself. Praise God. And have a good self-esteem. Nobody is ugly. It's money you need. If you think you are ugly, it's because you are using 200 naira to fix your hair. By the time you use 5,000, you know you are not ugly. Is somebody with me? The Bible says we are wonderfully and fearfully made. You'll be fearful to some people, you'll be wonderful to others. If somebody says you are ugly, you are fearful to that person. You are fulfilling scripture. That person is not your husband. But when your husband sees you, you'll be wonderful to him. And the beauty is always in the beholder's eye. Praise God. So you see some husband, some men say, "My wife is the most beautiful woman on the earth," and you're like, "This man is blind. How can he say that?" But that is what he wants. To you, the person may not be beautiful. And that's how you see some couple combinations, you are just amazed that it's only God that can do this. You see the wife, extremely beautiful. So beautiful, you look at the man, you are so, so disappointed. And sometimes the other way around, the man is so handsome, so cool. Then you look at the wife, you are like, But you see, that is what the person wants. So somebody wants you as you are. So have a good self-esteem and stop looking for love all over the place. Love is not lost. Praise God. Stop looking for love. You alone, 1 year, you have dated 6 men. And all of them slept with you. So by the time you marry, what's left with you for the husband? We are not suya that people should be tasting. Anyone you want to buy suya, say, taste. If you want to buy. Which one is taste? You are not suya. Tell somebody beside you are not suya. You are not suya. And you know the way they deal with suya. They put pepper on it. Put alubosa on the side. Put all this here. Eh? You are not suya. You are created in the image of God with a lot of dignity, and then you carry yourself like that. Glory to God. Don't beg any man who wants to leave you. Let him go. He's not capable enough to manage your glorious future. Don't go and kneel down begging some man. And he will tell you, okay, you want to come back? Let's have sex. And then you can't say no. Don't beg nobody. Are you with me here? You don't start a relationship because you are bored, because you are lonely, or because you feel like. One lady told me many years ago, she said, Pastor, I can't be without a relationship. I just must. I said, I told her, that's a problem. That's a major problem. Because the, being single is being able to stay without the pressure to be in a relationship. That's when you are single and ready. When you're always feeling like, I must be in a relationship, I must, you're not ready for marriage. You're not. So last week we looked at number one, which is the lover of your body. And we say the lover of your body is not the right person for you because this person is just attracted to your body alone and not to your person. He's in love for what he can get from you or what she can get from you. And this lover does not want the relationship to be taken to the next level. He just wants the pleasure of your body in a non-ending sex. He's in the relationship for sex. The day you tell him there's no more sex, he walks away. Such people, avoid them. Or the person you sin with will eventually sin against you. The person who says he or she is a believer and you are cheating together, you're sleeping together, fornication, you are teaching each other, okay, to not be faithful to yourselves after marriage because their heart has been taught or trained to be able to accommodate adultery. When you start double dating, it's a rehearsal for adultery. You are teaching yourself to be able to manage 2-3 people at the same time. And so when your heart is able to come to that point of being trained, when it comes, when an opportunity shows up to go into adultery, you do it so easily without any form of guilt because the heart has been trained. When you are in a relationship with more than one person at a time and you are telling the two of them, I love you, you need to check your heart. Something is wrong with your heart. A child of God doesn't do that. Because you're already training yourself to lie, to live in deception. Anybody that can lie will do anything, any other thing. The pressures are out there in the world. Where you work, your boss wants to sleep with you. Your friends want to sleep with you. Your colleagues want to sleep with you. These days, you don't even have to be fine. Just be a lady, female. Just be a female. It's perversion in the world. And so, you train yourself what it means to be faithful. Come on, say, I have a faithful heart. Amen. Alright. So, that is the first thing I would like us to understand. One of the persons in the scriptures that was in this kind of love was David and Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 11 verse 2, the Bible says they came to pass in an eventide. David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was beautiful to behold. What David saw was the body of a woman. Praise God. And when she saw the body of a woman, he lost control. Sent for her. That is a typical example of love for the body. Are you with me? Because that singular mistake ended up in not only adultery, but murder and death. The seed of that adulterous relationship eventually died. Another example is Amnon and Tamar. In 2 Samuel 13, 1 to 2, the Bible says it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon the son of David loved her. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for her sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But right there in verses 14 and 15, the Bible says in Message translation, he wouldn't listen. Being stronger than she, he raped her. And no sooner had Amnon raped her than he hated her, an immense hatred. The hatred that he felt for her was greater than the love he had for her. Get up, he said, and get out. Now, in verse 1, he was so much in love to the point of being sick. In verse 15, he raped her. That is not love. That is just loving the body. And once he got what he wanted from the body, everything turned to hatred. Get out of my room. And we have a lot of men who don't know God that are just like that. Once they have the sex, they look for another jambite, another fresh, somebody else. Is somebody with me? Now let's go to number 2. This is where we stopped last week. The next one is the lover of your faith. Come on, say the lover. Say it louder. Of your faith. This person likes you because you are a child of God. Hello. You find such scenarios in churches. The person just likes you because you're a child of God. You're born again. He likes your heart and your commitment and likes to be around you. Ladies, if you will tell me the truth this morning, you will conclude that in churches you have been in fellowships, there are some guys you have seen, you just love his passion for God, but you don't like him because he's not handsome. Have you seen people like that before? You say, if only this guy can be fine. You love him. The way he prays, his tongue, the combination of his tongue, sagrishke emblusisu frakagishya. You say, this is it. This is the kind of tongue I want to be hearing from my husband after marriage. But then you look at him, the way he carries his Bible under his armpit. The way his shoe is going as court. You say, what a combination inside one man. I wish. Then there's this other guy in fellowship who is so handsome. Phonetics. Everything is said. But you tell yourself, I dare not. It's an unserious person. Have you met people like that? Uh-huh. So, the lover of your faith. There are people that love a guy or love a lady because he's just born again. But see, that person is not ready for marriage. He just likes to be around this person, likes to share revelation. But doesn't find you attractive enough or financially loaded enough for marriage. Such people often make statements like, I wish I can marry somebody who is spiritual like you. And you are wondering, I'm still single now. I'm still single now. Hello? Such people, they want the spirituality, but they don't want the package. Hello, somebody? And sometimes if you are looking for an extremely handsome person, who is, you know, like that, you know, in quote, you know what I'm talking about, who is also spiritual, sometimes it's hard to find that combination. Because by the time he gets born again and meets God, that is sharpness and, what do I call it now, is tempered down a little bit. He's no longer interested in buying designer shoes like that. He's no longer interested in showmanship and all of that. It's just tapered down a little bit. So you want that high-handedness and spirituality combined. It's not always there. Most of the time, all you see is the extreme. He doesn't know God at all. He knows God too much. So how do you handle such people if they encroach too much in your space and almost getting you to the point where you are becoming emotionally attached by their continual presence? You will need to define the relationship because they have no plan for commitment. She's just hanging around you because you are spiritual. You are a prayer partner. Anytime there's a problem, she comes to you and says, Brother Zerubbabel, please agree with me. And Brother Zeru is thinking, I found wife. You never find wife. Who? The day you mention marriage, he says, you disappoint me, Brother Zerubbabel. This is just a brother sister. How can you? So when Brother Zeru is getting emotionally attached, you have to define it so that you don't get yourself into a problem. And then blame God at the end of the day. Say, I'm offended at God. With all the seed I've sown into the life of this sister, she ended up with Brother Smarties. Are you here with me? So define relationships. When somebody is getting too much in your space, it's good for you to define it. And sometimes you ladies, you have to do that. When this guy is always around you, morning, night, afternoon, and he is not going to propose. He's always around you, teaching you tutorials, buying you Richard cards, bought you from country kitchen, village kitchen, town kitchen. He's always around you. Sees you fetching a pail of water. No, you can't, you should be carrying a pail of water. Be consoling me, then fago. I say, he's all over you. It's the definition of caring. He's spiritual. Maybe he's an executive in his fellowship. Or he's your colleague at work. And he's always around you, dropping you off. Buying you things. After a while, if your emotions are getting involved, you need to say, hey, bros, what are we up to? So that you don't get terribly offended the day he comes to introduce his fiancée to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can meet some men like that are just nice by nature. They are just nice. Cool, calm, and nice. Such people, if you work with them in the office, you fall in love with them. Listening ear, always caring, always advising you, and he doesn't have any plan for marriage. Do you understand? Before you finish yourself emotionally as a lady, you better confront him. I say, what are you up to here? So you define it. So he tells you, no, we're just, so you know. So when your emotion is going that way, you tell your emotion, stop there. Don't misbehave. Do you understand? An example is Isaac and Rebecca in the scriptures. They ended up marrying anyway, but there's a good example there in Genesis 24, 3 to 4. He says, I will make this swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take the wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Go and look for somebody who has faith in God. Somebody who is born again. In verses 57 and 58, it says, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She has not seen Isaac. She's never met him. But she knew, oh, God of Abraham, oh, I like his faith. I will go. I will marry him. Just by faith. She doesn't even know what he looks like. Is he tall? Is he short? I'll go with him. Praise God. All right. Number three is the lover of your purse. The lover of your ATM card. This lover is just following you around, not because he or she is interested in marriage, but because he or she needs your money. There's a lady who was with us here. She's not in church again. She was in a relationship like that. And she told me she was everything to this guy. She would leave her lectures, be cooking food, to go and give to this guy in town. Hello, somebody. She was madly in love with a guy who is not in love with her. And that can be a very dangerous situation to be when you are in love with the one that is not in love with you. It's a one-sided love. So you are pressing hard. You are doing a lot of things just to buy the love of this person. But the person's mind is made up. He's just hanging around you because maybe you are financially loaded, or maybe because you are naive, or you are easy to collect money from with all kind of cock and bull stories. Just like, hey, sweetheart, I'm in a problem right now. I don't know. Sorry, but I'm really self-aware. And the pattern is this. Ladies, listen. This is the pattern. You just know that they give you money from home. You don't know where the money goes. It's like your parents are sponsoring him through you. While you are suffering. So you keep on asking your parents for money and they're like, last week, mom, if you went 20,000, hey, mom, is school late. School late. Your parents can't just understand. You are just funding him. And he knows how to come around and tell your kind of stories. And because you are in love, you can do everything and anything. There's a difference between love and foolishness. Is somebody with me? Because you are now in love, you are not eating well again. You don't buy things again. Before you fell in love, you buy clothes, everything. But now you don't buy nothing again. You buy shirts now, trousers, shoes for him. And marriage is not sure. These days, marriage is never sure until the ring slides into your fingers. And sometimes after the ring slides, marriage is not still sure. That's the kind of generation we find ourselves right now. One guy was caught sleeping with the chief bridesmaid 3 days after wedding. He left his wife in the hotel in the honeymoon to go and sleep with his bridesmaid. Before you choose bridesmaid, be careful. don't choose bridesmaid by, that my secondary school friend that I've seen last 15 years ago. You don't know it at state now. Now say, you are my chief bridesmaid. If you are not careful, they will collect your husband. This person tells you all kind of lies just to squeeze out some money from you. Sometimes the other way around, though, is the lady squeezing money out of the guy. It's not just guy to lady now. Sometimes it's the girl who is not interested in marriage, but knows that this guy will spend his money together. Are you with me? They are not attracted to your person, but your ATM card. They will tell you that, they will tell you what you want to hear in order to get what they want. Such person will never correct you of any bad thing. Everything you do is good. They will pretend they are for you, but they are actually for your money. They are controlled by mammon. They just keep doing anything, even derogatory things, just to keep the money flowing. So you can send him to the market and he'll go. Well, he's coming to collect the money of Irinse. Hello, somebody. Money. People can do all kinds of things for money. There are ladies that sleep with dogs for money. For $100. They sleep with dogs and allow the owner of the dogs to film them. $100, $50. It's called the spirit of mammon. Be contented with what you have. Is somebody with me? When you are not always satisfied with what you have, it's a major issue you need to confront. You always believe there's some man, somebody you must collect money from. And you do that at the expense of your relationship with God. Sometimes you sleep with such people. You do derogatory things, oral sex, just for money. That's not God's plan for you. Is somebody with me? It's not God's plan for you. It's not God's plan for you. You do so many things that if your dad and mom were to see you, they will faint. Or if you tell them that your daughter is doing the all mommy, nah. Because you are one person at home, you are another person in town. Forgetting that even though your parents can't see you, but God is seeing you. You can deceive your parents, you can successfully deceive your pastor. But you can't deceive God. You can't hide from God. Are you with me? An example of this kind of lover is Samson and Delilah. Delilah was not interested in getting married to Samson. She was interested in using Samson to get money. And she succeeded. Look at the Bible. Please, I'm stressing my voice, Joshua. Add more volume to this. Joshua 16:5, it says, "And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him. See wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." You want to ask what was the motivation of Delilah setting up Samson? It's money. It's money. Now the problem with money-driven relationship is that it will continue as long as the money is flowing, or as long as there is a better deal. That person will drop you like hot potatoes. "I thought we were in love." "Yes, that was then. There's another person who can do better." Are you here with me? And ladies, you have to understand this, that men are not around you to be solving your financial problems. A man is not supposed to take the place of Jehovah Jireh in your life. When you do that, you are misplacing your priorities. "Ah, but pastor, I'm an orphan. Pastor, there's nobody to sponsor me. If I don't do this, how will I scale through?" The problem is that you refuse to put your faith in God. You're putting it in man. And as long as you do that, it will always end in regret. Because that is not the plan of God for your life. You're having to sleep with somebody to eat, to feed, to fund your lavish lifestyle. That's not God's plan. When we were in school, I was this guy, he was 100 level, from a very poor home. By 200 level, you thought the parents became multimillionaires. Best of shoes, clothes, everything changed about him. Some of the time he brought cars, drove cars into the school. Extremely poor. What happened? He started using his body to service sugar mommy. Young guy, 22. He had all the money. And one day I engaged him. I was talking. I couldn't fathom it. I couldn't imagine it. I was asking questions. I said, "How old is this woman? 50-something? Years old?" So we go every weekend, we go sleep with this man, with this woman, come back with a lot of money. But I noticed he was always sad. He was always unhappy. I said, "So if you're unhappy, if you're sad, leave this thing." He said, "Ah." I go, "Yeah." They made him to swear that he won't leave her alone. Whatever his life is right now, I don't know. But don't get yourself in those kind of mess. God has a way already to sort you out financially. Because that's what our environment is right now. If you don't do it, that will survive. Put your trust in God, not in man. So that your life will not be full of regrets later. People that do such things, I've been counseling such people for over 20 years, it always ends up in regret. Most of them remain unmarried for life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So make up your mind. Are you with me? Number 4, is the lover of your time and your care. They don't love you, they don't want to marry you, but they want to use you and wear you out. There was a guy like that when we were in school. You know, we had to give him a nickname. We call him Bukata. This guy will fetch water, go to market, write notes. The guy will just come and dump his notes. I mean, our notes, rather. This guy will be copying notes. His own classmate, he has not copied. Be copying notes. Call him Bukata. And say, we will funkify the name of the brother Buka. Buka. In the morning, because we're running the same course. In the morning, I'm going for lectures. He's still fetching water for Sisto. Did they end up getting married? No. He was used. He was used so much that by the time we're graduating, he has his white hair started coming out of his head. One lobby ojo. Sometimes the other way around. You are not married. You are cooking food every weekend. You even use your allowance. Since he's my husband, who says? When others are preparing for test, Olosoja and what Perinkus kakiri. So that's what said one Perinkus. Busy downloading all kind of food, how to cook food on the internet. And you are not yet married. Oh, report on that, bye bye. Upon that, after cooking, you now wash clothes, boxer, singlet. And there's no guarantee of marriage. You finish cooking the food, say, you should down the bye. Hey, mon just laying. He's insulting you and you are not married yet. When I was in school, this is 1993, 91, 92, 93, these girls will come from time to time, leave their school, and come to spend 3 weeks, 4 weeks with a guy. One day, one of the guys had two different girlfriends from two different campuses. So he kept one downstairs, one upstairs. How did I know? The first one that came was already upstairs. When the second one arrived that evening, he ran to my room. Now I have a one-man room. Usually most of the rooms are two men, two-bedded, three-bedded. I have a one-man room. I stay alone in my room. So he ran to my room. I said, Tunde, Joe, kilo de, why are you sweating? Calm down. Joe, to long. Mo po ni gba bo jo ki ni mo fe lo yara e. Don't you have your own room? There's this girl, he came from Taske. So I looked at him, I said, are you suggesting that I should vacate my room where I pray and I read Bible, so that you will bring a girl inside and on my bed? I said, it's not done. I don't know. Get out of my room. I sent him out of my room. And one of the girls that spent 2-3 weeks, there was a time he brought out his belt and he was going to beat her. For whatever reasons. And I was the one that collected the belt from her. How do ladies subject themselves to that kind of lifestyle? How? Do you understand what I'm saying here? The lover of your money is not interested in marriage. Such people are dependent on you, but never mistake their dependence for love. The day they meet a better solution provider, they will drop you like hot potatoes and discard you like a sheet of paper. You teach a tutorial. But it doesn't really end in anything matrimonial. An example of that is David and Abigail. 1 Samuel 25 verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding, of a beautiful countenance, But the man was callish and evil in his thoughts, and he was in the house of Caleb. How did a woman with a good understanding and of a beautiful countenance end up with a man whose name is Nabal, meaning foolishness? How? Probably Nabal was attracted to her because of the intelligence, because she was a woman of good understanding. And a woman may be a woman of good understanding, but the moment she falls in love, the understanding disappears. You don't want to hear anything when you fall in love. So the idea is to be extremely careful of who you fall in love with. Do you understand? Now number 5 is the lover of your soul. After this, we have just one more to go. The lover of your soul. This person loves you because he is your pastor or your coordinator or your fellowship president or your HOD or your assistant pastor or any form of leadership position. He is just there for your spiritual nourishment. Is genuinely interested in your growth and no lust is involved. He has compassion for your soul, but no lust for your body. So when the pastor or HOD or assistant pastor or whoever he is trying to nourish you, interested in your spiritual advancement, never ever think that, oh, such and such person is in love with me. Yeah. Unless the pastor himself or the HOD or whoever he is perverse. So something can develop. But ideally, don't make a mistake when you see somebody who is your pastor or HOD or your coordinator showing some love. It doesn't mean he's in love with you. He's just caring, because a pastor has a shepherd's heart. A pastor wants things to be good for you, for your life to be in order. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, pastor chats you up and say, God bless you, you are this, you are that, doesn't mean he's in love with you. Don't screenshot that and say, pastor said so and so. Not necessarily. Research says 75% of ladies in churches are in love with their pastors, because most of the time, the pastor is who they see. Now, it's good to like your pastor, admire your pastor, or see him as a role model, but never allow the thoughts of lust to overtake you in your relationship with your pastor, your HOD, or your coordinator, whoever he is, that is overseeing your spiritual growth. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's something you have to consciously tell yourself, no. In order to have the best under that pastor. Are you following me? So this person is just a lover of your soul. He wants your soul to prosper. Now the problem is that compassion can often be viewed as love, but it is not. So if you have any relationship with a pastor or fellowship president or anybody in leadership position, it can even be your boss at work who is caring, listening ear. Maybe he's a pastor, a leader in his own church, but now you're at work, he's always there, caring, always available, want to listen to you. Don't ever fall in love with him. Are you following me? So if you're in any relationship with a pastor who is already married, you are on your pathway to hell. Is the fastest way to hell. And there's no softer way to say that. That person will not only destroy herself, she will destroy the pastor also in the process, if the pastor cooperates with whatever is going on. Are you following me? Because you could find yourself in churches or fellowships where the pastor is a little bit careless or loose, always hugging every lady. You need to be careful. You don't fall in love. If you see yourself falling in love with your pastor, you talk to yourself quickly. Because as long as you are falling in love with the wrong person, who is already married, The person meant for you never show up. So you delay the whole program. So you deal with yourself. You deal with your emotions. It's okay to like your pastor. It's okay to love your pastor. But don't love him lustfully. Do you understand? As when somebody stands before you, teaching you every time, be it work, church, or wherever it is, there is a tendency to like the person. Because this person is contributing to your life. You are getting blessed. This person is adding to you. So there's a natural likeness or love. But you make sure it doesn't go beyond that. It doesn't become emotional. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't become what? Emotional. One lady called me. I'm always afraid of people that call me and I say, Pastor, I saw you in my dream. I could say, what did you see? So one lady called me, said, Pastor, I saw you in my dream. I said, what did you see? He said, I was in a car. I said, huh? She said, I was driving somewhere to go and compromise somewhere. I said, ah. And it's me you saw. He said, Pastor, wait now. So I was going to go and compromise. Then I saw you in my car. And you came from outside the car. And then you tapped me while I was sitting in the car. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. I said, praise God. He said, that's a good dream. Keep on dreaming. Hallelujah. So if you're sexually involved with a single pastor, somebody who is called leader, it's a terrible situation to be. The pastor is deceiving himself. He will soon be out of ministry. And he can take you along. You know, there's a difference between ministry and misery. They sound the same, but they are two different things. Are you with me? One fellowship president cornered you and kissing you. Ah, you are both finished though. You know, as a pastor, I get to hear a lot of things. All of fellowship, campus, all these people. Ah, they are dangerous people. Dangerous. Ah, dangerous. All this NCCF papa. Oh my God. Some stories I've heard. So as a lady, listen to me. When you go to serve somewhere, you go to another state, don't ever, listen to me all ladies. Are you listening? Don't ever trust any man. Even if he's archbishop. You saw him raise the dead. Don't trust him. If you stay with him on the same bed, he will think you're also dead. He will try to raise you. I'm telling you right now. You say, daddy's anointed. Daddy, dead. Ogbologboni, daddy. I'm telling you right now. From what I've heard from counsel, I'm warning you now. Don't be naive. You know, there's a single pastor and he's anointed. You now went to his house to be cooking. They will cook you. I'm warning you right now, ladies. Nobody should call me on phone that something happened. I'm warning you now. That was how one girl went to, don't let me mention the, went to somebody who was supposed to be the leader and said, I have a problem. I've been sleeping around. The person took him and also used that. It's about somebody that should pray for her. Somebody who is sexually active, vulnerable, and is looking for help. So she had to leave that place. She concluded in her heart, it's not worth it. She ended up in a barrack with one man. That one slept with her crazy sex for about 6 months. Then she got tired and left that place and walked up to a particular church. Thank God the church she went to, I was a true man of God there. I was able to help her. See, this is the issue. You don't just walk up anywhere where you see church. There are people who started their churches just to sleep with ladies. I'm telling you right now. That's their plan. For starting the church to be sleeping with girls. There are guest ministers that are invited to church
and you put them in the hotel, and in the 1 week they stay, they have slept with half of the members of the church. I'm telling you true life stories. So be careful. He is a man of God. He called out my number. So what? They are familiar spirits. Be careful. Don't trust anybody. Don't trust a pastor or a man or a leader that tells you to come to his house and he's single or he's married, his wife is not around. He now says you should come for counseling. He can counsel your destiny if you are not careful. Do you understand? And guys, be careful too these days. Pastors will be touching your laps. Man to man. I'm warning you now. I want to be his personal assistant. Ah. May you not assistant yourself to wherever you don't want. It's a terrible world. It's a terrible environment we find ourselves. You have to be careful. Finally, and I close. Okay, an example of pastor to this kind of love is Hosea and Gomer. Of course, it was God that instructed Hosea to go and marry this girl. This girl needed help. She was a prostitute. And God said, there's something I want to teach Israel. So he told Hosea, said, go and marry this prostitute. Hosea said, go and marry her. Because of what he wanted to say. I don't have time to, dissect all of this. Number six is the kind of lover you should go for. This lover is from God. Are you with me? When you are in love with this kind of lover, you have peace in your heart. There's peace. Not the kind of love you are into an okwe obale. You wake up in the morning, you are sweating. They say, why? I said, because of my fiancé. Where is she? She's in Port Harcourt. She's in Benin City. She's in South Africa. So why are you sweating here? I don't know. There's no peace. Are you with me? This lover from God is the one you should pray for. He or she may not be a perfect person, but will fear the Lord. It's the lover that will not turn you into a widow or a widower in some 5 years after marriage. He or she is the lover that will not divorce you down the line. He or she is the lover that will not turn you away from God. The Bible says the women that Solomon married turned his heart away from God. He or she is the lover that you can truly call a helper that your soul delights in. She is the lover whose breast will satisfy you like rose. Is the lover that will still make your heart tingle and make butterflies fly in your tummy even after 20 years of marriage. Is the lover that will be there as a father to make your children go further in life. She is the mother that will not murder the dreams of your children. She's the lover that will stabilize your excesses. That is what you should go for. Wait for. And trust God for. This lover from God is worth waiting for. Worth praying for. And worth abstaining from sin for. I pray, if you are still single, that you will meet this lover from God in Jesus' name. He will not just be spiritual, he will be so handsome. Anointed to the teeth. When he smiles, you fall under the anointing. She will not just be spiritual, she will be a combination of brain and beauty. So beautiful that you keep wondering why God loves you so much. You know, I had to wonder like that as a single. How did God love me so much to give me this beautiful babe? My wife is just beautiful. Praise God. It's beautiful. If you agree, if you don't agree, but to me, she's beautiful. She's beautiful to a point that she stabilizes me. Nobody is more beautiful than her in Shadow Grace Center. Believe you me, I've never had issue of, I'm looking at one girl. She's everything I want and I need. Beautiful. That's the kind of lover you should pray for. Not the kind of lover that you marry. Then 3 days after your wedding, you say, "Iru mistake omo shelaye mi. She me wa down by. This other one there one bear, I should have waited." Is somebody with me? I don't have regrets in my marriage. I've been married for 19 years. Don't have any regret. She's good enough for me. She's beautiful. She assists me to write the devotionals I do every morning. She writes for married couples. She writes effortlessly like I write. It was just everything I want in a woman. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when you marry the person from God for you, even if you are not that fine before, you are not that handsome, you are not that beautiful, as you grow older, you just become finer. Because you are in God's plan. I wasn't this fine though, as a single. No. No. I had bushy hair, afro-like. My ears were very flappy. I wasn't this fine, but I'm a fine boy now. If you like, don't agree. That's your problem. Me, I know. I know. And I'm not trying to do confession. I know. You know, there's sometimes you're trying to do confession. Look at yourself tomorrow. I'm a fine man. I'm not confessing. I'm telling you what it is. Whether you like it or not, I'm your pastor. And what your pastor say is what you must say. Everybody is actually handsome and beautiful in God. There is no ugly person. And the day you accept to yourself that I'm fine, then you become finer. The day somebody who is beautiful start telling herself she's ugly, then the mouth start going somewhere. Someone say, "Where is all this?" Because of your mind. Have you seen some people that in your own estimation they are not fine at all? In your own estimation, you know, beauty is a beholder's eye. Look at it, say, "Why can somebody be like this?" But the kind of confidence this person radiates, you are even angry. How can somebody be this confident? You know, life does not respect handsomeness, or it respects boldness. I've seen one guy who cannot speak one correct English, but he's very bold. So when he's talking, even though he bundle fair war, but you will listen. Because of the way we package it. And so when you went to the place, you want to hear Bolo? It's called boldness. But you that you have phonetics, but you are not bold. All your fullness will be to yourself inside your room. Be courageous, be bold. Say it as it is. Is somebody with me? That's why there are some pigeon shows that they do right now. The most ugly man in the world was an African man, and he won $5,000 for being ugly. Praise God. They even did the most ugly dog in the world. And the dog won 1,000 naira. Nobody's ugly. Let's stand up on our feet this morning. I want to pray for you. Especially if you're still single. There's somebody.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KFC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.